The government's bailout of the financial sector is set to go on trial today. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The federal government has been accused of not aggressively going after individuals who had a part in the financial crisis. Today, it is the federal government being sued in federal court over its bailout of the insurance giant American International Group. A former CEO of AIG thinks the bailout cheated him and shareholders. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us from Washington. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, David.
At the risk of triggering a flashback here, remind us about the AIG bailout from back in 08.
Yeah, remember? It was the fall of 2008. AIG was on the brink of collapsing. The government was worried about the effect that would have on the mortgage market, the too-big-to-fail philosophy, you'll remember. So initially, the government offered AIG a loan of $85 billion and got a nearly 80% stake in the company.
Well, why the lawsuit? I mean, in a sense, this is a case of biting the hand that feeds you?
Well, that's what the government says. It says, look, the board of AIG approved the bailout. AIG wasn't entitled to dictate the terms of its rescue. The lawsuit was filed by Hank Greenberg, who led AIG for almost 40 years. Greenberg asks two questions in his lawsuit. He says, one, did the government violate the Fifth Amendment, which says it can't seize private property without just compensation? And two, was it legal for the government to demand a stake in AIG in return for the loan?
What happens if Mr. Greenberg wins?
For starters, shareholders in Greenberg's lawsuit would get billions of dollars. The case would also set a precedent for other lawsuits. Remember, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were also taken over by the government. Some of their shareholders have filed suit, too.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Greenberg has retained quite a lawyer, David Boies of U.S. versus Microsoft fame. He was also on the Gore side of Bush v. Gore. The American Academy of Pediatrics is changing policy today and is now recommending that doctors suggest intrauterine devices and hormone implants to adolescents as a first-line approach to birth control. Among the pharma companies watching this development in what's called the long-lasting reversible contraceptives market, Bayer, Merck, and Teva. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi is in the U.S. right now. He'll meet with President Obama today, but he also appeared before a sold-out crowd of 20,000 at Madison Square Garden in New York this weekend, which speaks in part to the strength of the Indian-American community. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson reports.
Officially, there are more than 3 million Indian-Americans in the U.S., and overall, they're pretty successful. Their median household income is roughly $100,000, according to last year's census, double that of the rest of the population. Milan Vaishnav, with the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, says education partly accounts for this.
I think nearly three-quarters of Indians who were coming to the United States already had bachelor's degrees.
Many come to the U.S. on skills-based visas and enter fields like software, engineering, medicine, and finance. Not all support Modi politically, but the visit is a chance to express national pride. John Echeverry-Gent is a professor at the University of Virginia.
This is a group that, in terms of its political lobby, is really coming of age.
And given the large numbers of Indians who are undocumented or here on temporary visas, he says immigration reform will be one area they'll be watching very closely. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Let's check the ingredients list for the recipe here. A cup and a half of big data. Stir in algorithm. Heat in a saucepan before sprinkling in the apps. Venture capitalists believe the food industry is next in line for disruption. And tech startups have some ideas. Marketplace's Queena Kim has this report.
In San Francisco, you can see the future of restaurants, or at least the way it's envisioned by techies. And no surprise, the dining experience starts with an app. Didn't bring your lunch and you don't have time to go out, go to your iPhone, look for your favorite restaurant app, and click on the photo of the meal you want. And while they can't zap it to you, they're working on it.
Ah, here we go, an order.
Caden Berkmoyer is a driver at Sprig, one of the many food tech startups popping up in San Francisco. We're in his car, and in the back seat is a big bag full of assorted boxed lunches.
It just popped up in my app. It has one granola salad. And
here's how Sprig works. When you place an order, an algorithm sends it to the nearest driver.
And we are delivering to Tanya.
Sprig is like a San Francisco-style restaurant, only on wheels. Lunch is $9, and the food is mostly organic, and the meat's hormone-free. The startup won't say if it's profitable, but it's looking to expand into more cities. And Sprig thinks it can use technology to compete in price with big restaurant chains and offer healthier meals.
The challenges are immense.
Kent Bennett is with Bessemer Venture Partners. He says in the past, tech investors have stayed away from food.
Most of the companies we invest in move ones and zeros around, and food tech companies, you're moving heirloom tomatoes around. You know, they start to rot the second they fall off the vine.
And that's money down the drain. But Bennett says, this tech boom, investors are giving food another look.
This is a $1 trillion market. Like, there's almost no category of software that even begins to approach that number. And there's a lot of pain in the food space, whether it's health and wellness or affordability.
And Bennett says venture capitalists are betting that startups can use mobile computing and big data to take away some of that pain and take on the traditional food companies. In San Francisco, I'm Queenie Kim for Marketplace.
And Apple stock was down about 1.5% in early trading this morning. There's word today that the European Union has come to a preliminary finding that Apple and Ireland worked out a sweetheart deal on taxes. Apple says it pays every euro it owns. Questions about preferential tax treatment are also being looked at involving Starbucks and Fiat. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.